It would be unkind on my part not to take just a moment of time to express my appreciation for the opportunity we have to worship the God of heaven today. What a joy it is to see each of you with your Bibles ready to study the divine revelation. Our hope and prayer is that all that is taught is truth. If you find error to be taught, if you'll call it to our attention, we'll make the proper correction. All things have been made ready this morning if you've never put on Christ in baptism, so that your sins can be blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, as is taught in Mark 16:16, or if you need to be restored, all we'd be glad to pray with and for you and help you in any way spiritually as we make our sojourn from this earth to heaven. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of Mark and the 6th chapter to begin, I'm going to read one verse from Mark 6 and then we'll read from John 19 a verse. In Mark 6, look at verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. If you take your Bible, underscore the carpenter. Then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the book of John and the 19th chapter. Now when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, you'll find Jesus is hanging upon the cross of Calvary. And look at what it says in verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. I want to raise a question this morning that may sound odd, but at the end I hope it makes sense. What do you see when you look out at a tree? Now many people, when they look out at a tree, they'll see the beauty of the tree. Many people know the tree. I remember my grandmother telling me when I was a young lad, now Mike, that's a live oak, that's a Bradford pear, and she'd go through, and all I'd say is, yeah, that's a tree. I wish I'd have paid attention and known my trees better. Some people, they see an obstacle. I remember when you have to mow the yard and you have to mow around certain trees, there's an obstacle. You got to make sure that you get as close as you can before you have to get the weed eater out and get all the grass down around the tree. But for a carpenter, many of them see an opportunity. Now we have some great carpenters here, Brother Gatlin, Brother Nixon, Brother Purcell, and others. And I know that they understand what timber can do. They can picture what they can build with timber. Now, I can't get two pieces of wood to stay together. I'm not a carpenter. But I appreciate the talent of an individual that can take the timber and build something. And I've often thought about when you read your Bible, you'll find that Jesus was a carpenter. And I thought about the fact that some say, well, that meant he could have been a mason and laid a brick. But I tend to believe that when you read, he was one who worked with wood. And I want you to think about, what would Jesus have built? Can you imagine the things that he might have built? Yoke for oxen. Perhaps he built a roof for somebody. But one thing I know, whatever he built, Jesus did it to the best of his ability. He was fair in his price, and he did so that he could show people that he was an honest individual. But you know, when he put down the axe and the hammer and all from the carpenter's shop, he did not cease to be a worker in wood. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is look at Jesus taking the rough timber of his cross and see what he turned it into. What I want to talk about for just a few moments of time is what Christ the carpenter made of his cross. And we'll look at four things, make application in the lesson yours. I want us to think about from last Lord's Day morning having Calvary, and this week I want us to think more about the cross and think about Jesus and what he made. Now, I want it to be understood that the cross without Christ is nothing but a means of execution. But when you put Christ on that cross, you see that he is the sacrifice to save the world. So we need to understand that the cross is important only because Jesus was there. There have been a lot of people who've been crucified on crosses. But the importance of the cross of Jesus is he is the Lamb of God dying to take away the sin of the world. So let's look at four things. The first thing I want you to think about is when the carpenter went up on the cross, he made a balance to weigh the soul, the worth of souls. You ever thought about what a soul is worth? You know, I was looking back, I had an old sermon called Handfuls of Dust. And when you look at the body really doesn't compose a lot of value. We don't have enough iron to make one nail. We don't have enough copper to make one penny. We don't have enough magnesium for one dose of salt. What gives the body value? Well, someone will say, life, right. But I'll tell you more than that, the soul. When the soul departs the body, there's no longer life. That's what James said in James 2:24. He said, as faith without works is dead, so is the body without the spirit. Actually, it's flipped. The body without the spirit is dead, so is faith without works. So I want you to think about, my friend, that the reason that we have value is we have a soul and we have love from the Father for that soul. And I want you to think about how important the soul is. Jesus shows us the importance and the value of a soul by going to the cross. And He made a balance and He shows us what that soul is worth to Him. Take your Bible and look in the book of Matthew and the 16th chapter. And when you come to the Gospel of Matthew in the 16th chapter, notice that Jesus said in verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Then look at verse 26 carefully. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? That's question number one. Now, first of all, that's a hypothetical. No man can gain the whole world. But Jesus said, even if you could, even if you had all the riches of this world, you had everything. There's nothing that was hindered you from obtaining anything and everything you wanted. He said, what would it matter when you died if your soul is lost? He said, what profit have you? He said, there is no profit. It's like what Paul said when he writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1, he said, to die is what? Gain if you're what? In Christ. If you're in Christ, to die is gain. There's nothing else to gain unless you're in Christ. He said, for me to die is gain. When? When you're in Christ. So here I read my Bible, and he said, what profit? There's no profit. Then he raises a second question. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, that's a whole other question. And I'll tell you, my friend, I've seen people sell their soul for very little. I've seen people back away from the Lord and say, I'm not going to follow the Lord because the Lord wants me to be happy and the Lord wants me to have my way and the Lord just wants me to have prosperity and whatever it is I want on this, that's what the Lord wants. And they don't see God wants us to be holy and to be obedient, and they don't see His love for us is to be reciprocated from us. And so Jesus said, what profit? And then He says, what will you exchange? But then if you take your Bible, think back again. In the estimation of the maker of man and the soul of man, the soul is of the utmost value. Look in Isaiah 49. And when you come to the book of Isaiah and the 49th chapter, notice the prophet of God makes a statement in verse 15. He says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Can you imagine a mother who would not remember to feed her child? Here she is. She's giving a nursing child. She would forget that. He said, we could not imagine someone forgetting to feed their child. But notice, he said, surely they may forget. God said, a mother may forget. He said, but I will not forget you. You want to know how much you're worth to God? That when He looked and He made a balance, He said, it is worth me going down, living in flesh and dying on a cross to save their soul. That is the value of your soul. And when the carpenter came down and He went up on the cross, He died so that our soul might be saved. In your Bible, in the Roman letter, in the 5th chapter, we often read it, and yet I wonder if we've ever touched the hem of the garment to the power of the statement Paul made, beginning at verse 6 when he said, when we were still without strength, We were helpless, is what he's saying. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God shows or demonstrates His own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when I look at the carpenter on the cross, I see the carpenter building a balance to show us the value of our soul. He gave His all. And you know, and when I see the wickedness of man and I contemplate the weakness and waywardness of man, I'm tempted to wonder whether God paid too high of a price. Whether God in heaven ever inquires if it was worth it to give His Son for creatures like that. But He never thinks that, because it said, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. So when you read your Bible, you think about what God thinks of your soul. God looked at your soul. God said it's worth saving. It's worth salvaging. It's worth redeeming. It's worth buying back. It's worth reconciliation. It's worth the price that His Son was willing to pay. The ultimate price. And when I see the carpenter up on that cross, I see him showing me the value of my soul. And what an incredible thought it is, that God did not count the price too high to die for you and me. That the Son said, I want them saved. Secondly, when I look at the carpenter on the cross, not only do I see that balance where he shows us how valuable our soul is, I see a coffin to bury sins in forever. He built a coffin to get rid of sin. I want you to think about the fact that once a man sees Christ carrying the cross up Calvary's hill, he cannot sin again without some guilt. Or if he does, it shows he never was touched by the love of God. How can we comfortably go on sinning when we see Christ uncomfortably trudging up the hill of Calvary to take our place, to die in our stead, to take away our iniquities and sin, and carrying them on His back? The heavy load, not so much the wood, but our sins. He who was sinless, carrying our sins, as Isaiah 53 said. He bore our iniquities. He took on our transgression. He bore it. He died so that we could be saved. You know, I hate cancer. When I was just 5 years old, I remember sneaking into a hospital, and they snuck me back into the ICU, and my daddy picked me up so I could look at my grandma. And as my grandmother died, she said, I want you to know I'm going to be okay. And they set me back down, and she died. And I just, ever since then, have never understood cancer. Then a year later, my grandfather, I remember spending the night out of his house, and I remember him dying. I remember people who were precious to me, elders and people I love. But I'll tell you, the day it hit me the hardest was November 8th, 2009, when my mother died of it. And we've got members here who've lost loved ones to that. And what a disease. We just hate it and we want to eradicate it. But have you ever thought about, my friend, as much as you hate cancer, we should hate sin all that much more. And sometimes I'm afraid we play around with sin. And we don't see the fact that sin causes us to be separated from God. That if we continue in sin and we ignore God and we live our own way and don't live according to the pattern He's given us, then we are separated from God. And I'll tell you, some act so unconcerned about that. I'll never forget my mother telling me to go preach. As though she's concerned about souls. She's more concerned about the souls of others than they are their own. I've had people say, you know, preacher, I wish you'd quit hounding me about coming to services and about changing my life. You know something, my friend? If I didn't love you, I would quit hounding you. You see, When people say, leave me alone, and you do leave them alone, what you're saying is, I don't care. Now, there comes a time that you don't just keep ramming things down people's throat and you have to use opportunities. But you know something, my friend? What you are basically saying to someone who you don't tell the truth to is, if you want to go to hell, that's fine with me. And that's not true. We don't want people to go to hell. We want people to be saved. I'll never forget my mother one time. We had not been attending services like we should. And she came in and me and my daddy were sitting on the couch and she said, y'all can go to hell if you want to. I'm going back to the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing more important than getting rid of sin that separates us from God. When I see what sin did to my Savior, wrecking His body on Golgotha, and when He took responsibility for my sins and your sins and bore them in His body, how can I ever go back and play with it again and act like sin's not a big deal? When you see sin wrecking the body of the Son of God, you see Jesus constructing and building a coffin to bury sin, to get rid of it. Not that you continue in it. In Romans chapter 6, Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! You who are dead to sin, don't continue in it. Take your Bible for just a moment and look in the book of Micah in the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Micah in the 7th chapter, look at verse 19. In verse 19, he said, He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, I like that statement. Christ took the timbers of the wood and the nails and made a coffin to bury sin. And there's so much about man that he cannot be put into a coffin, but there's so much about us that ought to be put in a coffin, in particular our sin. The carpenter made a coffin for him. I'll tell you, that touches me. He wants to do away with the very thing that separates us. He wants to do away with the very thing that causes the issue between us and the Father. He wants us to make sure we're reconciled, as is brought out in Romans 5 again. Now, can you look at the cross and say, I don't care one bit what you did for me? Now, some people say, oh, preacher, I'd never say that. I'll tell you what, my friend, you may not say it, but a lot of people act that way. Let me ask you another question. If I was to toss this Bible on the floor here, and I was asked, who wants to come up here and just put their foot on that Bible and grind their foot into the Word of God? Just grind it. Go ahead. How many would do it? I dare say not a one would come up here and do that. And yet, my friend, we do it every time we ignore what the Son did for us. We're taking the Word of God and making a mockery of it when we act like God does not care about sin. Do you see wanting us to put away our sin? Do you see what sin does? But that brings up the third thought in our study. Not only did He make a balance, and not only did He make the coffin, I want you to tell you, He made a ladder in which we can go to God. First of all, He nailed the old cross to the law, Colossians 2:14. We're no longer under the law of Moses, we're now in Christ. And now I go through the blood of Christ to have my sins forgiven. Hebrews 4 brings that out. That the blood of Christ is what redeems me. And 1 Timothy 2:5 says, now I have a mediator between me and God, Christ. You know, He understands my side because He was human. He understands God's side because He's God. And therefore, He can make mediation for us. It's someone who understands both sides of the equation. And as our brother Moss read a moment ago, He is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to the Father except through Him. And Jesus let down that ladder so we can go to heaven. That blood-stained ladder. What did Christ the carpenter make of His cross? He made a balance to show us, here's what your soul is worth. He made a coffin to say, get rid of sin. Eradicate it from your life. That doesn't mean you're not going to fall. But when you fall, you repent and get back right with God because you love God and you want to please God. And then He made a ladder. Because without the cross, my friend, not a one of us would have hope of eternal life. One last thing in the lesson is yours. Take your Bible and look in the Revelation letter in the 20th chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter in the 20th chapter, look at verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Look at that great white throne. He sits on it now. You see, long before the nails held the carpenter held the nails. He made a living with His hands in wood, but He died with His hands in wood. And now there He is on the throne, and we are to worship before the throne. Today is so important because every first day of the week we celebrate and worship the risen Christ. We don't do that once a year. We do that every Sunday. We give Him glory and come before His throne with praise. And my question to you is, do you see the value of your soul? Are your sins buried in the grave of baptism, or are they still alive in your life? Have you started up the ladder to heaven, or are you so stuck in this world, heaven doesn't cross your mind? Will you worship before the throne, or will you be cast out of the presence of the Lord? You know what it all depends upon? How you see the tree of Calvary. A lot of people see the cross as nothing but an obstacle, because it means they have to change their life, conform their life, be like Christ. And they say that price is too high. I'll tell you, my friend, no price is too high for the salvation of your soul. But more than that, no price is too high to show God how much you love Him. He showed you. Why is it such a hard thing for us to show Him? When I pass up sin and pleasure so I can give Him glory, is that such a difficult thing? John said in 1 John, His commandments are not grievesome or burdensome. They're for good. Everything God has said is for your good. Every command that we look at and say, oh, that's just a rule and it's a killjoy. No, it's for your good. We need to see everything is for our good. And when I see the tree, I don't see an obstacle. I see the greatest opportunity God has provided for man to have his sins blotted out. My question is, do you see that? Oh, I look at that carpenter. And I see what he made out of that cross. And I'll tell you what I see. I see someone who loved a filthy sinner like Michael Richardson enough to say, you're worth dying for. My question to you is he worth living for you? And that is a serious question. Do you see the carpenter? And do you see the cross? If you need to obey the gospel this morning, we pray that your heart's been touched and you would obey as we stand and sing. We invite